Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? Excuse me.
Quiet! Well, you got to project from the diaphragm.
Thank you, Rizzo.
You're welcome.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
Hiya, Kermit. It's Mickey.
Mickey?
I'm calling on the picture phone to see how the show's going.
Oh, it's going, great. Just great.
Hi, I'm Dorothy.
I'm Dinah.
I'm Max. Yeah, Debbie was sick, so, the union sent me.
Debbie was sick, so the
I can't do this show alone. I know. The gang can't be far. I'll call
them.
WDW Radio.
Your information station.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 249 for the week of November 20th, 2011. World Showcase in Epcot affords guests unique opportunities to learn about and experience cultures from around the world via a promenade that spans just over 1 mile. And while speaking with cast members from these host countries, tasting their food, and exploring the pavilions are just a few of the ways to truly get a sense of the culture and history, another way is through their music. And this week, we'll look at some of the live musical acts to be found in Epcot, discuss some of our favorites, offer tips on how to get the most out of experience in the acts, and ask you to join in the conversation as well. I'll then have a couple of announcements and play more of your voicemails at the end of the show, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. To experience Walt Disney World to the fullest, you need to make time to enjoy some of the entertainment beyond the attractions and the shows. And while I enjoy sharing and highlighting some of Walt Disney World's hidden treasures, some are not so hidden at all, yet are still overlooked. And Epcot Center is a true showcase of future technologies and world cultures, and it also offers some of not only the best attractions and food in Walt Disney World, but some of its best entertainment. And you don't need to seek very hard to find it, but you should take the time to discover it simply by walking along the World Showcase Promenade. And to help me highlight some of our favorite acts in Walt Disney World's Epcot Center is Chuck Leyenberger. He is a blogger over at disneydaddy.blogspot.com. Chuck, welcome back, buddy.
Always a pleasure to be back.
It's great to have you back. I want to give you congratulations as well, too. Recently, we were both featured in Southern Living magazine talking about Walt Disney World's 40th anniversary. It was an honor to be in the magazine alongside you. It was a lot of fun doing that.
Definitely was a pleasure.
So I always say, and I really do believe, that the best way to learn about and experience the culture, other than obviously actually visiting a nation, is through its food. I think that food brings people together around a table. It's a multi-sensory experience and lets you appreciate the people by how they live and the flavors they savor and the customs that they keep. But I think a close second is through the music. I think it's an artistic expression of the culture. It's easily shared and consumed by everyone. And it really lets you feel, you know, through the music, whether it's upbeat, whether it tells a story or it maybe honors some of the ancient traditions. And I think you really get a sense of that with the live music. One of my favorite reasons, and one of the reasons why I enjoy sort of just wandering the promenade in Epcot so much.
Oh, without a doubt. And Lou, congratulations. It only took us about 15 seconds to get to food. Live music, though, think about this. If you go watch a movie, what would happen if you took the music away? It'd be a boring movie. That's because music plays such a vital role in everything we do. And so live music, the opportunity to see performers performing their craft live and in person, and to see different types of music from something along the lines of off-kilter over in Canada to some of the folks over sort to, you know, to the Oompa band music in Germany. That is a very, very different type of music than sometimes we Americans are used to hearing. You Brits, some of you Brits listening, others around the world, you already know what we're talking about here. But for Americans, we don't always hear that kind of music. And so to have the opportunity to see that live and in person is really wonderful. And it really does bring out the spirit of Epcot, which is to expose you, the guest, to life in another place.
Yeah, and just on a general sense, I love live music in the parks. And this is, unfortunately, I think, something that's sometimes gotten lost over the years. I miss, like, in the Magic Kingdom, I remember as a kid seeing the Adventureland Steel Drum Band. It was JP and the Silver Stars or the Pearly Band. You would find those a lot sort of wandering the parks. I like the things that are unannounced, these unexpected surprises sometimes, like the Banjo Brothers and Bob that come out in Frontierland. Really, it helps to engage the guests and sets the mood, and it really is fun and upbeat. It's one of the things when I went out to Disneyland, I noticed they had a lot of, you know, the jazz band in New Orleans Square, and I really, really enjoy that. So that's part of the reason why I like having it in all the pavilions in Epcot too. And again, like I said, it's a way for us to experience the culture through their music.
Yeah, it's an example of a piece of another country. Just as you said, the food, as you see the architecture, as you see the dress of the cast members, even listening to their language, a music and their music is part of their culture. So to be able to experience that is part of experiencing that particular country and that particular pavilion.
And look, it doesn't hurt if you have a little nosh from the Tangerine Cafe while you listen to Morocco.
You know, there's nothing better than, you know, eating and drinking your way around the world and listening to some great live music while you're at it. So why don't we take a virtual stroll around World Showcase?
Yeah, and what we're going to do is we're going to literally wander around the promenade. But with the one thing I do want to say that we are actually going to leave out of the conversation are some of the special events, things like the Eat to the Beat or the Sounds Like Summer, the concert series that mm-hmm. takes place a number of times throughout the year, whether it's Flower and Garden Festival, Food and Wine Festival, because we want to talk about the things that are there all the time. So no matter right. when you go to Walt Disney World, if you haven't taken the time, hopefully we want to introduce you to some of maybe our favorites, some of the ones that have been there for years, maybe a few that maybe you haven't seen before. If you think you've seen them all, you may be surprised that there's a couple of new acts. And we're going to sort of take a counterclockwise. And I know when we were talking about this offline, you were saying that for you, you know, we're starting off by hitting a home run. We're gonna knock it out of the park for you first, because we're going to begin in Canada. And Off Kilter is arguably not just your, but a lot of Disney fans' favorite live entertainment in World Showcase.
Off Kilter is nothing short of a blast. Off Kilter, it's very high energy. It's a rock band, and I use the word rock really, really loosely, because, you know, it's kind of hard to think, you know, rock with the bagpipes, but yet here we are. So they play a lot of like I said, high energy music from a number of different provinces across Canada. There's also some little bit of Celtic rock. There's some French songs and other things like that. And then they'll go in and kind of play some more familiar tunes. And all along, they're playing with the audience and they're having fun. This is, in my opinion, the most fun band that you will find or most fun live performance that you will find all along World Showcase. They actually have CDs as well that they have printed, and I've got a couple of CDs of Off Kilter. It's that good. It's music I actually listen to outside of the park. So Off Kilter, far and away, my number one live music opportunity in all of Epcot.
And again, you are not alone. And I think the thing about Off Kilter that makes it so popular is it is not just sort of a passive sit down, listen to a concert kind of, or listen to a group kind of thing. It is a more of an interactive experience. They get, you know, people in the audience involved and engaged, and they tell jokes, and there's, you know, a lot of sort of unique style humor that the guys from Off Kilter have. I mean, a lot of people may stop because, first of all, you can hear the band from completely across the World Showcase Lagoon, but you walk by, and we're not used to seeing guys in kilts playing the accordion, playing the bagpipes, as well as playing, you know, modern electronic synthesizers. And they've got this mix of rock music and Celtic music, and you can't help but stop and listen. And then the next thing you know, you're kind of moving with them. And the next thing you know, you're looking at the Times Guide to see when you can come back and catch their next set.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I guess that's something we probably need to say right off the bat. To catch a lot of these performers all around World Showcase, you really do want to pick up a Times Guide, because each of the different performers hold their own performances, and they're at different times of the day, and they do vary wildly. For off-kilter, for instance, usually this time of year is running in the afternoons anywhere from 2:30 to about 7:30, and they do about 4 or 5 to 6 performances. It just varies depending on what you're coming to see, but very strongly recommended to go ahead and pick up a Times Guide as you're coming into the park, so you can get an idea of who's playing when and where.
Yeah, and you should, you know, include those as you are mapping out your day. So look at the guide again. You said Off Kilter begins about 2:30. They have shows probably about once an hour. The set lasts about 30 minutes or so. So you can sort of plan your day around, well, certainly when you eat, but wanting to see some of the acts in World Showcase as well. And the nice thing, too, right next door, you can grab a cup of coffee, you can grab a pastry, and sit out on the benches and listen to them. And if you've never heard them before, you should sort of take your time. And I think, like we said, this may arguably become one of your favorites. And you should check out all the different sets, too, because a set at 2:30 may be very different than the set you get at 6:30.
Oh, without a doubt, because, I mean, think about it. If you were the members of Off Kilter, it would be pretty boring to, say, play the same 30 minutes of music the whole day. So they do vary it up themselves. And just like any live performance, every single time is unique. It's never going to be the same twice because it's live and because of all that interaction. One of the other things I like about Off Kilter, and part of it is where they're located, and the music fits to where the set is physically located. It's on the far side of the Canada Pavilion, almost to where the United Kingdom Pavilion starts. And when you listen to that music, if you're not necessarily familiar with it, it might sound very Celtic. It might sound something that comes more, say, from Scotland or Ireland than from Canada. I think Off Kilter is a perfect example of how the Imagineers were using music to transition you from country to country.
Yeah, and because the members of the band are not necessarily all from Canada, they're from Canada and Puerto Rico and Ireland, you'll get a very different mix of their styles and their humor and their sort of musical flair when you come and see them. I totally agree. Off Kilter is a must-do. It for years, it was voted the sort of favorite theme park musical act, not just in World Showcase, but anywhere, and it's certainly well-deserved. And as you sort of make your way, continuing counterclockwise around the promenade, moving over to the United Kingdom, this one, Chuck, for a lot of longtime Disney fans, the next act, some people may love, some people may not love as much because of who they miss. Not very long ago, the Beatles cover band, the British Invasion, their contract was up, and they were replaced by the British Revolution, and they're actually known as the British Airwaves outside of Walt Disney World. And they don't just play Beatles songs. They play, you know, psychedelic 60s mm-hmm. to 80s sounds from The Clash and Bowie and Pink Floyd and The Police. And they do play some Beatles and The Who as well. It's nice. I like it because it does sort of mix things up. If you're used to seeing the British Invasion, this is one of the things I was hinting to. You might be pleasantly surprised if you go by the garden in the back, in the little sort of town square in the United Kingdom, and catch a set of the British Revolution.
This is one of those where you may be walking down the main promenade in the United Kingdom Pavilion, and you're hearing these Beatles songs playing, and you kind of look around thinking, where in the world is that coming from? You'll need to walk down the street, literally, into the pavilion itself, and then you'll find the gazebo area where the British Revolution are playing. I frankly was one of those that I kind of missed the British Invasion. I liked the tribute to the Beatles, which is really where a lot of it got started. I understand the intent now to kind of broaden that horizon to the British Revolution, and they do a wonderful performance themselves. Don't get me wrong. Both bands were exceptional. This is where Off Kilter was number one. British Revolution is number two. So these, in my opinion, are kind of the 1-2 punch for live music in Epcot. So you can literally just go from watching Off Kilter to watching the Revolution and just go back and forth. And very similar to Off Kilter, their sets vary up and they're different each time.
Yeah, one of the things I like too about the British Revolution is not just what they play, but where they play, because I think that music sort of draws you into the back of the United Kingdom Pavilion in that town square, that the corners are regal and high streets. And while there's no seating per se, like there is for Off Kilter, you can find a couple of nice shady spots on the stoops or off on the side or by the garden right there. And it's a really nice venue back there too. And sort of helps you or maybe encourages you to maybe explore a little bit deeper into the United Kingdom that you might not have done otherwise.
Yeah, this is also another nice layout that you can even be inside the shops getting some of that shopping done and buying things for all the friends who weren't able to come with you to Walt Disney World. And at the same time, you're listening to all the music that is coming from the British Revolution, because it's a lot of fun. Another great place that you can, you know, hop into Rose and Crown, grab a pint, and then go over and listen to the British Revolution.
Yeah, and I know we're really primarily talking about this outdoor, the outside the pavilion live entertainment, but as long as we're mentioning the Rose and Crown, I would be remiss if I did not mention the Hat Lady. And if you go into the Rose and Crown to eat, or if you want to sit in the pub, most nights, about four times a night, she'll play a set starting about 5:30 or so, going on to 8:30. She plays in the pub. Her name is Carol. She is incredibly, incredibly talented pianist. More importantly, she is fun. She is super lively, way high up on the caffeine scale. Plays a lot of great sort of pub music, not just English pub music, but really sort of international kind of music from the United Kingdom. She, too, is one of those must-sees. And again, if you're just sort of walking with friends and spending an evening or a couple of hours maybe just sitting in the pub, you've got to go and see the Hat Lady.
Yeah, without a doubt. Another wonderful performance. Again, this is another one of those you can be just outside and hear what's going on, too. So as you're maybe standing in line for the fish and chips there at the little kiosk, you might just be able to pick up a few bars of her playing.
Yeah, and next door over in France, there is no musical act per se. And we've talked in the past, and I'll link in this week's show notes to the other episode where we talked about some of the live entertainment on the promenade. And a serveur amusant, this sort of comical waiter acrobatic team, is more of it's less about a musical act, but you do get some sort of great French music as you walk by too. And again, just want to sort of mention, if you see these guys, if you see a couple of waiters coming out stacking tables and chairs and wine bottles, you might want to slow down a little bit and pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, but speaking of missing live music, this is one of the pavilions, though, where I kind of really think that some live music needs to come, because, you know, French music itself, and you can hear it in the background of when Serveur Amusement is playing, you know, that type of music, you know, the French music itself, it's very distinctive. And you know, really, I think that this is somewhere where maybe Disney needs to consider expanding some of their live music offerings. So, you know, who knows, maybe one day.
So would you want to see something that's more modern French or more sort of classical French? Because you remember Nova Era? Remember when Nova Era used to play on the promenade? I loved Nova Era. It was classical music with a modern touch to it. Maybe something like that even over in France.
Or possibly something where it kind of mixes up, where you can have that mix of the very classical French style and then add in or mix in with some of the more modern music. But I just think that, you know, one of the benefits to Epcot and to every pavilion is the chance to showcase the country and showcase the culture. And as we've been saying, music is a critical part of that culture. And so for the French pavilion not to have some sort of live music opportunity, I think is an opportunity missed.
And we've been talking about encouraging people to slow down or stop. I think one pavilion where many people do sometimes, much to the dismay of their wives or girlfriends, where many people do stop and maybe slow down a little bit much, is over in Morocco. And the band there is Moroccan. It's a six-person musical act. They play traditional Moroccan music, but really with a much more sort of contemporary kind of flair. But I think one of the things that helps slow people down is not just necessarily what they see, but what they hear. Not necessarily what they hear, but what they see, because accompanying Moroccan is a traditional belly dancer.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you think and hear the word belly dancer, you really kind of think about something, you know, very exotic and almost parents, you know, covering the eyes of the little kids. And it really isn't that at all. You know, this is it's a dance form that has been, of course, is very common in Morocco and in that part of the world. And it's actually very beautiful and very graceful. How these performers can move in that way, it just blows me away. Moroccan is very much, in my opinion, like off kilter. You take a lot of classical mixed with contemporary rock and other types of music to create something that's really very special and something that's just fantastic to listen to. You know, I can just sit and listen to set after set after set of Moroccan because it really is just fantastic to listen to.
Well, and that's the thing too, you know, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, a lot of times you're hearing songs that you're familiar with. Morocco is completely the opposite because I would assume for most of the people who are walking by the promenade, this sort of Arabic music is not something that we are all too familiar with or that we listen to very often, but it is very beautiful and is very melodic. And you do find yourself, and they help get you engaged in this with clapping your feet and clapping your feet, really. How about clapping your hands and tapping your feet? And, you know, every now and then you might find somebody who might want to try their hand at belly dancing as well, too. But it's a very, very fun. And like you said, it's a beautiful performance as well.
It really is. And I think Moroccan probably wins the award for best band to draw you in to truly experience a different culture. Because for most of us and for most of the folks listening to this podcast, they're familiar with the more European and Northern American cultures, but they're probably not all that familiar with some of the Arabic cultures. So for Moroccan to be that hook, to be that anchor, to draw people in, to spend some time in the Morocco Pavilion and learn a little bit about Morocco and come to understand Morocco and come to understand some of the Arabic cultures that, you know, and there's a lot of misunderstandings and misconceptions about some of the Arabic cultures. So to be able to come in and understand that, I think Moroccan gets the gold star.
Yeah, and two, you can also get similar types of music and a similar type of show, and don't be afraid to take sort of a culinary leap and go and eat at Restaurant Marrakesh as well, not just for the belly dancers, but for the food and the culture and the show that they perform there as well. I have to tell you, Chuck, the next two pavilions are my two favorites for two very different reasons. And next, you know, in order on the promenade is arguably my favorite pavilion for a variety of reasons. I've talked about this on the show before. I love Japan, and I love Matsurita. They are the taiko drummers that are outside at the Gojunotu Pagoda right in front of the pavilion. I'm sure you've heard it before. Again, sort of music echoes across World Showcase Lagoon, these deep beating drums. Actually, taiko stands for great drums. And I love this because of I love the sounds, I love the Japanese culture, but I also like the fact that the music itself has such historical importance and meaning. It goes back, you know, hundreds of years to religious ceremonies and festivals and even performances on battlefields. It really is meant to sort of reflect the spirit and the essence of the Japanese people. It's also sort of kind of, they have CDs of taiko drummer. It's sort of gotten this rebirth in popularity for this type of music. And it's one of the things I really love. It's beautiful to watch. I mean, the people who are the drummers, again, these are not sort of small percussion drums. These are huge drums that are a few feet across that are either stood up vertically or horizontally. And you can see the muscles in their arms as they be, and it's a beautifully choreographed musical performance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was off going to get a ADR for Tepanito. I was still thinking about food. Now, Japan Pavilion, it's one of my most favorite pavilions, too, a lot for the food. But also, just as you said, for the music. we all have been familiar with drums. We've all seen high school bands and college bands playing the drum lines and all that kind of stuff, and I'm amazed by what those kids can do. Then you go to something like Matsuriza, and it's almost like Iron Chef of the cooking world to, you know, just, you know, your local restaurant here. These guys are incredible. And the drums, you know, Lou's not giving them justice. A couple of feet, they're huge. They're like 5 and 6 feet across. Some of them are bigger than you are. You know, we could probably fit Lou in one of these drums. They're huge, and as you said, they're just gigantic in their sound, too. You can be walking just into World Showcase from Future World, and you can hear those boom, boom, boom from all the way across. So they're just incredible to watch. You know, one of the things I love to do while standing in line waiting to maybe watch Miyuki perform, you get to watch Matsuriza, and really you almost get a 2-for-1.
And the fact that they are able to create such beautiful music with nothing but percussive instruments, I think is just fascinating to me as well, too.
Yeah.
It's very, very different than anything else. There, nothing is sung. There are no other instruments. There is nothing playing other in the background other than the sounds, these very heavy sounds that are coming from these drums. Arguably one of my favorites. Probably not, because the next pavilion, again, for different reasons, but over in the American Adventure, The Voices of Liberty is one of the most evocative and emotion-stirring a cappella groups of the most amazingly talented performers I think that you'll find almost anywhere. They are an 8-person a cappella group. They are dressed in traditional American garb. They do their own renditions of, you know, popular and historical American songs, and it is literally, it is beautiful to listen to. And when you stand there in the rotunda, which is so acoustically perfect, when they stand in the middle there, you get such an amazing audio performance there. You could just sort of close your eyes and listen. And I think acoustically, it is the very best place anywhere in World Showcase to watch a performance.
Arguably, I will say it's maybe the best acoustic place in all of Walt Disney World, because the acoustics there are so incredible. If you have the opportunity as you're watching The Voices of Liberty to get that kind of front row seat, as it were, there is no actual seating. You just kind of sit down Indian style, as it were, crisscross, applesauce, as my kids used to say. But if you get a chance to sit there, you know, close to them, and you can hear the acoustics perfectly, it absolutely is beautiful. This is one of those performances, every time I watch it, by the time I'm done, I almost have to hold my chest in, because you swell so much with American pride and with joy of our country. So Voices of Liberty, in my opinion, is more than just a must-do. Voices of Liberty is a have-to-do every time you go to Epcot, because, you know, for many of us who are listening, you know, we have to be and we should be proud of our country, and Voices of Liberty literally give voice to that American pride.
And you're right. And, you know, the fact that it evokes an emotional response is really a tribute to not just the songs, but it's the performance of them. And I've heard them perform even outside of the American Adventure, and they still are able to sort of bring that home to you. So next time you go to see the American Adventure, and I think you should, I think it is, for me, one of the best shows, if not, I think it is the best show in Walt Disney World. So when you walk up to the door and you ask Lonnie, who's one of my favorite cast members, when the next performance is, if he says it's a half hour away, don't leave. Go into the rotunda, go look at the paintings, go look at the quotes on the walls, go look at the museum display that they have off to the right-hand side, go look at the Hall of Flags, talk to cast members like Lonnie that will give you such an amazing history of the art and the pavilion and American history, and then catch a set or two of the Voices of Liberty. I will tell you, it is probably one of the it'll be the highlight of your day in World Showcase.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, the Voices of Liberty is just a pre-show, and that in itself, you know, in other places would be the attraction in and among itself. And this is just a pre-show to something that's even just as incredible, you know, which is the attraction itself of the American Adventure. So to say that this is really an experience really doesn't even give it justice. These two, kind of, again, that 1-2 punch of putting the Voices of Liberty together as the pre-show to the American adventure is just wonderful. But yet there's more just outside.
Right. And really what's outside is almost a pre-show to the pre-show. It's almost like right. the music and the cue to the pre-show. And again, this too is one that I think people don't necessarily will circle on their Times guide. But if you're fortunate enough, about seven times a day, starting not long after World Showcase opens at 11, the Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps, which used to play in Liberty Square when they used to have the Sons and Daughters of Liberty ceremony every day, is a traditional early colonial American fife and drum band. And they are just, with military precision, the way they perform outside, traditional songs with the flag waving. Again, you talk about sort of that sense of patriotism that you have that goes all the way back to Walt. Walt was such a big patriot. I think he would love seeing the Spirit of America and the Voices of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. This is a beautiful and wonderful experience that's just outside the pavilion itself. Very reminiscent to something that you will see in Williamsburg. You know, we get a chance, fortunately, we're in Williamsburg all the time, and I have to stop and see the Fife and Drum Corps. It is literally a piece of history walking right before you. So if you see the Fife and Drum Corps playing, you got to stop and watch. This is a piece of American history being recreated right in front of your eyes, and something that I think, again, all Americans should experience because it's a part of who we are and how we came to be what we are today.
Absolutely. Next door, speaking of heritage, my name ends in a vowel, so I have an affinity towards the Italy Pavilion. I do miss Nova Era. I do miss some of the other live acts that they had outside. Nova Era, for a little while, was performing again at Downtown Disney. Was really glad to see them back.
Right, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, they were in front of Portobello. They set up a sort of little round stage area there, and there's a couple of different live musical acts, which I love seeing again in Downtown Disney. But Italy right now does not have a musical act per se. They have Sergio, who's the juggler, and they have the Ziti Sisters, which are relatively new, which is a comedy act, and some of the women there are absolutely hysterical. So you will get some Italian music in the background, sort of letting you know that they're coming, but not live musical performances per se.
Yeah, and again, much like we were mentioning for the French Pavilion, I think this is an opportunity missed, and you know, hopefully one day we'll see live music, you know, not just in the form of the Ziti Sisters, which is, they're fun, it's great comedy, and they do add music into the comedic routine, but some more, you know, traditional and even contemporary Italian music. Hopefully that'll come back.
Yeah, and next door, over in Germany, one of the places I like going with people and my kids love going is over in the beer garden, because you get a show. You get a show alongside your dinner. Not a lot of musical acts necessarily performing outside, but if you like that sort of oompa music, you can definitely get a good, you know, up-close performance of that with sort of a traditional flair with a little bit more of high energy with sort of that traditional Bavarian music.
Yeah, the Oktoberfest Musikanten is just, again, very similar to what you might see in a few other places, and very traditional German oompa music. You know, this is your very classic, you know, boom, bump, boom, bump, that you'll see with the huge horns and all of that, and the accordions and all. And another place where audience participation really is part of the whole show. So you're going to be part of what's going on. You're going to be getting up. You're going to be dancing. You're going to be having fun. And this is all part, literally, of the show. Again, talking about food, that you can literally sit in as you're enjoying your bratwurst or that great pretzel, you get a fantastic show, too.
And this is, again, that opportunity that you'd love to see some sort of outdoor Oktoberfest kind of feel going on. You do have, like, the little beer garden outside, and you know, even if you get, maybe you wouldn't get all six performers out there, but you get two or three with the tuba and the trumpet and the accordion, getting people outside in that square out in front of the Germany Pavilion. I think it would be another great opportunity there, because right now you can only experience the Oktoberfest music content if you are dining at Beer Garden.
Yeah, again, this is very similar to what we were saying before. Maybe an opportunity not really missed, but one that could possibly be improved. Or better yet, maybe use the Oktoberfest folks as they come in from offstage somewhere, and you know, maybe where the Snow White meet and greet is, and they walk around and head into, as they're playing, head into the restaurant, and maybe that will even draw folks into maybe the quick service side to try and enjoy some of what's going on.
I'm still holding out hope for our Rhine River attraction that we were supposed to get decades ago.
You and me, buddy.
Moving
you and
over
me.
To China. Again, no musical act per se. The new act right now is the Jewel Dragon Acrobats. Again, you wonder. It's an incredible sort of Cirque du Soleil-like performance with men and women. They used to have the young girls, the young China acrobats there before. But there is no musical act outside of China per se, although when you go into the pre-show for the Circle Vision film, or you walk through the attraction itself, you do get some nice music inside, but none of it is performed live.
Yeah, and again, another missed opportunity. And you know, for those of us who remember the opening ceremony for the Olympics in Beijing a few years ago, we were all stunned at what we saw. The world was literally held captive at that time, and the music was part of that whole performance. And so this is one of those places in China. I really, really hope that Disney will find a way to bring some live musical performers in, because Chinese music is absolutely beautiful. And so, you know, who knows what will happen.
And again, of course, it becomes a learning opportunity for us as well, too, to become more familiar with the culture.
There is a consolation prize for these pavilions, France, Italy, China, that we've talked about so far, and a couple of others. There is great area music that is themed and is appropriate for each particular pavilion. So as you're walking around, you can listen to some of the music, area music, just kind of playing, atmospheric music playing. So, you know, that's at least some good things to listen to.
Absolutely. And next door over in Norway, there's some really nice areas right by the lagoon that have a couple of benches in the shade that you can get a sense of the piped in background music. They do have occasionally, it is not necessarily a regular, I know the schedule sort of varies with the Norwegian folk music group. I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize in advance. Spellman's Glage? I don't know.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I have no idea.
That one's all you.
They do perform these very traditional Scandinavian, they're called gameldans, these sort of old style dance tunes. And they are beautiful, and the costumes are gorgeous. We wouldn't even mention some of the costumes for the performers. Obviously, very, very traditional as well. This, too, has, you know, this is not just Norwegian music. It's, again, this was supposed to be a Scandinavian pavilion, going back to early concepts for what Epcot Center was going to be. But it's got that folk music and dance music. And it's a little bit more modern, too. Then there's accordions and recorders, and there's also basses, guitars, and fiddles. And the dance that they perform with that is really, too, beyond some of the other performances, what makes this one really nice to watch as well.
Yeah, and this is one of those places where, much like Disneyland, you have some of these almost impromptu performances that are not necessarily scheduled and routine. They just all of a sudden appear, and hi, here we are, come listen to this. This is something that I hope shows back up at all different places in Epcot. Yes, we have some of the scheduled performers like Off Kilter and some of the others that we've talked about, but also I think some of those little individual performances, like a lot of times what we see over at Animal Kingdom, I think would be beneficial not only to, frankly, to Epcot, but to all the parks. You know, bring that back to the Magic Kingdom as well, because live music, I think, is one of the things that you can't get really anywhere else, because it's live and it is that person and it's that one-on-one experience.
Well, I know one of your favorite things to do, Chuck Leyenberger, is to grab your sombrero, your Fiesta Margarita, and hang out at the Mecca Pavilion and listen to the Mariachi Cobre. It's a 12-piece mariachi band. They perform, again, multiple, probably about 7 times a day. They're out there quite often, just to the right, in between the pavilion and the margarita stand. And they are just such a lively, happy, fun group of guitar players and trumpeters and violinists. And the music is so, not only is it festive and it's just very happy, but it is very, It's warm, too. And it also, I like it because it is that traditional sort of folk music.
Without a doubt, Mariachi Cobre is wonderful. This is another place that I love to just sit and listen to the music because it is very traditional Mexican music, and it's not something, again, that we get to experience all that often, especially in some parts of the country. So to have that opportunity to listen to some authentic Mexican music is really wonderful. Nice new sort of set, if you want to call it, built for them. They used to be playing in that little alleyway with just, you know, some foliage there, and now they've kind of got this Aztec-looking backdrop that also serves as the meet-and-greet area for Donald Duck. But Mariachi Cobre is something that, another one of those that if you hear it, you really need to stop and listen, because this is part of that Mexican culture. This is part of why the Mexico Pavilion is even here.
And these guys are old school, too. Like the group was formed in 71, and they've been playing at Mexico since Epcot opened. So they've been around literally since day one. And they're kind of like Mexican rock stars, too. Like, they just don't play in Epcot. They've played with Linda Ronstadt, Julio Iglesias, and Carlos Santana. So they, you know, they're sort of, their music goes outside the confines of World Showcase.
Yeah, they're right on the money. A lot of times, I would suspect that, you know, if you're listening to some of the watching cartoons and you hear that very classic La Cucaracha song or all that kind of stuff going on, it very well may have been Mariachi Cobre recording it, because these guys, as you said, are, you know, really the bomb when it comes to Mexican music.
And again, you grab your margarita, or if you come outside from La Cava de Tequila, and it is just such a fun sort of celebratory kind of atmosphere outside. I think maybe that's why a lot of people tend to go clockwise first and hit Mexico first, because you hear that music off in the background, and it is sort of that, we talk about these visual weenies that are built that draw you in. The Mariachi Cobre is sort of an audio weenie that sort of brings you over towards the Mexico Pavilion.
Oh yeah, I think that's one of the reasons we often, you know, as we're touring the parks, we often start with Mexico, and a lot of times it is due to Mariachi Cobre, because as we're walking in, we'll hear them playing, and we're heading over there first because they're playing. We want to catch them and see them. So they are that audio weenie that helps draw you into World Showcase, just as a lot of these bands are. Again, Matsuriza, you're hearing that deep pounding drum coming from all the way on the other side of World Showcase. You're hearing Mo Rock and you're hearing Off Kilter. You're hearing these different bands. All this music just comes kind of wafting and echoing into Future World, and as you start to make your way towards World Showcase, you hear all of this great music, and you just can't help but go explore.
Yeah, and I think that the two that you really do hear as you're walking from Future World is you do hear Off Kilter, and you do hear the Taiko drummers from Japan. And because of where they're located, it does sort of draw, like, what is that? You know, especially new guests, like, what is that drum? Where is it coming from? And it does sort of encourage you to make your way around. You know, we're talking primarily, Chuck, about the live music over in World Showcase, because that really is where it is highlighted. But I did want to mention one that is in Future World. It's been around for a while. It no longer is the Christos. Remember the Christos? Those weird sort of alien ballet people over by the Interventions Plaza.
That was a while ago.
That screamed 1980s to it. But yeah. Now
that's why Lou still likes them.
I do. I am totally stuck in the 80s. But now in Future World, both East and West, you'll find them maybe by Mission Space, by Test Track, a couple of different locations as well. They are actually listed on the Times Guide, but they seem as though they come out of nowhere are the Jammeters. And that's because they are dressed like regular Walt Disney World custodians. And when they're walking around with trash cans and dustpans and fly swatters and everything else they use, and then they just stop and they drop and start playing. It's one of those things that you wish you could videotape the crowd's reaction, because you go to the World Showcase Pavilions, you expect the performers to be up on stage. Their stage is the middle of Future World. So they'll stop by Mission Space, turn a trash can over, and just start playing. And they too are their choreography working together, not just in music, but how they play off each other, how they move around, and also how they work the crowd into it as well. Kids, adults, everybody gets into the Jammeters.
The Jammers are just wild. There's no better way to describe them than they're just totally wild. They're almost like a flash mob. You never know when they're just going to show up. I mean, it's literally kind of like an audio flash mob. And next thing you know, you hear this, "Kunk, what's that?" And they're just literally jamming.
Is that your Jammers impression?
There you go. See, Lou won't sing on the show, but you know, I'll take care of it. Yeah, the kids love to watch the Jammers. Every time I see them come, I'm like, guys, everybody, slow down. And it's almost like a secret, you know, because most people don't know what's coming. And I'm just kind of like, All right, guys, get ready. Here they are. They're going to get ready to do this. And sure enough, here they go. And they take off. And, you know, it's just, you see folks go, what in the world is they doing? Over? But then it's, oh, okay, this is a show. And so Jammers are so much fun. So if you see some guys carrying trash cans around and they're kind of acting a little goofy, it's probably the Jammers and you want to stick around.
And the other thing, too, what's even more unexpected is during special events, especially like now during Food and Wine, they aren't custodians, they're chefs. So they the jammateurs become the jamming chefs. So you think that, you know, why are they over here? They're dressed like they're from Food and Wine. Maybe they're going over to the Wonders of Life Pavilion. Next thing you know, they drop their pots and pans and then start playing. And it's just, you can watch the crowd reaction as much as you can watch them and just to see how people respond to it.
Yeah, and there's not a, for all intents and purposes, there's not a traditional instrument around at all. It's all things that are really just everyday stuff, pots, pans, trash cans, soups, forks, you know, all this kind of stuff. But yet they make some incredible music. So, you know, kids, yeah, music is where you find it.
So we know that Off Kilter is probably far and away your favorite one. But what I want you to do, Chuck, is if there's one that you think that's overlooked, one you think that people miss that they should sort of make a special trip or make a special plan or circle it on their Times Guide to go and see. Which one of the World Showcase musical acts would you recommend?
Voices of Liberty, without a doubt. The one that I think is the most overlooked because it is inside. I think it's the most overlooked, and that's sad in many ways because I think it has some of the most beautiful music in all of Epcot. Yes, I like Off Kilter because I think Off Kilter is a ton of fun, and I like, you know, the British music of the British Invasion or the new group. But Voices of Liberty, just it is that American spirit in sound, and I think all too often folks just walk right by. They see, oh wow, I've got a 25-minute wait. I'll come back. I'll catch it when it's about 5 minutes to go. Well, by 5 minutes to go, most of the time the performance has already ended. So they don't catch the performance of Voices of Liberty, or they only catch the last few minutes and then go, gosh, I wish I would have stuck around and seen this. So Voices of Liberty, I would have to say, is probably the overlooked attraction in Epcot, live attraction in Epcot.
I agree with you 100%. And just the same way as you don't have to be Moroccan or Japanese or Chinese to enjoy their music, you don't have to be from America to enjoy. You know, a lot of people come from overseas, and they too should sort of get what we get by visiting the other countries on the promenade. They should be able to get that by listening to and watching and seeing the Voices of Liberty. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Arguably my favorite of all the acts. I think that the Taiko drummers are probably close behind it. But Chuck, I want to hear from the listeners. I want to know from them, what is their favorite live musical entertainment in World Showcase? I'm actually going to post a poll in this week's show notes over at wdwradio.com. Click on the podcast link, find this week's show there. You don't need to register. Just click on what your favorite is. I'm very curious to see from the listeners what they feel is their favorite. Or in the comments section, you can also say which is one maybe that you haven't gone to listen to before, but now maybe you're thinking, hey, let me go and check out Off Kilter. Let me go and see Mariachi Cobra. Let me go and try and see a full set of, you know, whoever else it might be, you know, on the promenade.
Yeah, and at the same time, if you have a comment about, again, some of that missing music that we've talked about, share that as well. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Should some of those pavilions that don't have live acts, should they have them?
And don't forget, too, for a lot of these live acts, you can actually take their music home with you. So you can go either where they're performing or into the shops, and you can buy CDs from them because they do perform, and they have been performing for many years, both in and outside of Epcot. So definitely be sure and check them out as well. Also be sure and check out Chuck's blog. It's disneydaddy.blogspot.com. He's got great stuff going on over there, including his Tip Tuesdays. Chuck, you definitely have to come back. We've got lots more that we need to talk about over in in Walt Disney World. And thank you again, buddy.
Oh, anytime. Always a pleasure.
That's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks again for taking the time and tuning in this and every week. And as it is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., first and foremost, I want to offer my sincerest and most heartfelt thanks to all of you for taking the time and tuning in this and every week and for allowing me to share my passion for all things Disney with you. I say every week that I do appreciate you guys tuning in, but as I'm pausing to reflect on all that I am thankful for this week, I think of you, my friends, and the joy that you have given me week after week for the past many years. I feel I am so fortunate enough to have been able to share my love of Disney with others since going back to 2003, and so grateful for the friendship that you have all extended to me. I say week after week that I believe that we are friends, whether we have met yet or not. And time and again, at Meets of the Month, through emails or voicemails or random meets in the park, you guys have proven that to be true. So I want to thank you for all that you have shared with me, for continuing to fuel my passion every day, to inspire me to continue to be better, and hopefully I'm inspiring you in return, and maybe, just maybe, making your day or your next trip to Disney just a little bit better. So this Thanksgiving, I am thankful to and for all of you. As long as I'm in the thanking mood, might as well thank our partners and sponsors. Nice segue, Lou, including MouseFan Travel. They're my recommended travel provider for any type of Disney trip. You've heard Becky on the show in the past. You know the her and her agents can give you the best possible Disney experience. Visit them over at mousefantravel.com. AllStarVacationHomes.com has more than 150 homes within just a couple of miles of Walt Disney World, with pools and spas and game rooms, multiple master bedrooms, lots of great amenities. Again, they are AllStarVacationHomes.com. And if you want to stay right in the heart of Walt Disney World on the most comfortable beds on property, in my opinion, the Swan and Dolphin over at SwanandDolphin.com has got 17 world-class restaurants, the Mandara Spa, lots of great Disney benefits there as well. Real quick, don't forget to come by, visit the site over at wdwradio.com. I want you to come by, comment on show 249, and take our poll at your favorite Epcot musical acts. While you're there, explore the site, the blogs, discussion forums, the shop, and so much more. Again, I want to hear from you guys, so you can email me at lou@wdwradio.com. Be heard on the air by calling 407-900-9391, leaving a voicemail for us there. Don't forget, every Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, you can be part of our live video broadcast and chat, where we discuss this week's Walt Disney World news over at wdwnewscast.com. A quick reminder about the Celebrations Magazine limited edition Christmas book. More than 120 pages of color photos, behind-the-scenes stories of the holiday celebrations at Walt Disney World. It is getting ready to ship soon. It is also a limited edition, and it is almost sold out. So if you're interested in getting a copy, you can still take advantage of our pre-order special, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. You can check it out over at CelebrationsPress.com. There you can also download a free PDF sampler of Celebrations Magazine. Finally, please come by, follow me on Twitter. I am at Lou Mongello. Facebook, we're at facebook.com/WDW Radio. And you can also add me to your circles on Google Plus. I am LouMongello.com/G+. It's LouMongello.com/GPLUS. It'll take you right to my Google profile page. And as always, my friends, and now more than ever, you are my friends, whether we have met yet or not. Thank you again for taking the time to listen each and every week. If you like the show, all I ask is that you please help spread the word. Let others know about the show. Tweet out that you're listening. Share the link on Facebook or Google+. And please come by, rate and review the show over in iTunes. And also remember that there is no time like right now. Tomorrow and someday will never come. So start pursuing your passion. Be positive. Be motivated to follow your dreams. And when you do, always keep moving forward. Make sure you do something that you love each and every day. And most of all, I hope you have a lot to be thankful for this holiday season. So thank you again for taking the time and tuning in. So until next time, have a great week, everybody. See ya.
What's up, people? Josh Collins, that guy from MD on the website. You know, Lou, I just want to congratulate you for winning the best travel podcast. And I think I speak for everybody, everyone, when I say, thank you, Lou. You know, you put so much work week in and week out on this podcast, and you never settle for just good enough. You make it the best it can be. And trust me, it is. I've learned so much about Disney, whether it be past attractions, fun events, or even a good place to get something to eat. You know, and all of this is because of the amazing podcasts that you produce week in, week out. You know, Lou, I just want to thank you for all the work you do to make this podcast. And, you know, congrats on the win. Trust me, man, you deserve it. And, you know, keep making the podcast, dude, and, you know, you can win it again next year. So, I'll see you.
Hey, Lou, it's Glenn from Alabama. Just finished listening to the top 10 spookiest moments of Walt Disney World. Really enjoyed the show. As always, the top 10 list, as I've said before, is my favorite segment on your show. As funny as or as comical as mentioning It's a Small World sounds when you talk about the spookiest moment, never would have really thought of it as spooky, but I tell you what, if you read Kingdom Keepers, Volume 1, or the first edition, the first book of the Kingdom Keepers series, and those kids are in the small world after dark, and those little dolls start coming to life, and coming after them. I cannot write that anymore without thinking about that. That's pretty spooky or pretty creepy. So just wanted to shout that out because y'all did mention that, and that is kind of funny, but the idea of those little things coming to life, that's a whole Chucky moment going there. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that in. And then I sent you an email asking about the Carousel of Progress show. Was wondering if I heard correctly that the Robin from Mary Poppins is actually in the Carousel of Progress. That's my favorite Disney movie. And if I heard correctly, that was worth listening to the whole show just right there for to know that Robin actually still is in existence and is still in use in a present-day attraction. So looking forward to getting an email back. Hopefully I'll hear back from you on that, whether I heard that correctly or not. But great show, as always, with Jim. And all of your shows are great. Love to listen to them. Can't wait to get down there to the world pretty soon and hope to meet you one day. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Hey, Lou, Jen Trumley from Bristol, Connecticut. Just got finished listening to this week's show, 248, with you and Becky on the listener emails. I always love those shows. Just you guys always have a lot of information and a lot of good questions and emails that the folks write in. So I just finished listening to that while I was working away on this Monday afternoon. Just wanted to say hello and... I just sent you an email. I'm not sure if anybody else or if you or somebody else or one of our listeners would happen to know this, but I love when you play the background music for Epcot. I have the original, Epcot entrance medley from the two-disc park CD, but I love the music that they play in the background between Interventions East and West and the plot in the central area there by the Fountain of Nations, and I never can seem to find it anywhere. And I know you play it sometimes in the background on the podcast. Just wondering if you could drop me an email. I just sent you one today, or if somebody else happens to know, let me know. I'd love to be able to find that one of these days. I'm a big music person as far as the parks are concerned. I love listening to it. Anyway, I also had another suggestion for one of your top 10 segments with Tim Foster. I was wondering if maybe you guys, even though, you know, you guys are guys, I was wondering if you were interested in possibly doing a top 10 best places to shop at Disney, maybe top 10 stores at Disney World. I know there's so much different shopping and different things that people collect and look for. It would be curious to see what your list would be like for the top 10 stores or shops in Walt Disney World. So that's my suggestion for this week. Thanks again for everything. Next time you say see Becky, say hi for me. I'm going to most likely be booking my upcoming trip to Disney with MEI Mouse Fan Travel, which I've never done before. So I'm looking forward to dealing with Becky and her group. And I just wanted to say thanks again, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye. You've got a friend.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.